This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Are we getting off the rails here?
Yes.
What time
sorry.
Is it? I think I started it. I'm sorry with the Caleb.
You started it.
Caleb K comparison. But I think when you talk about Kate Horton and Caleb Williams, their connection, they're the two best right-handers in town. That's not that outrageous of a statement.
Poor Tyson Pageant.
That's who feels insulted by that.
He just sat up. He's like, what the hell did Hall say there?
I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
Secret.
Pageant.
Gentleman. Secret.
Pageant.
Gentleman. They've given you a number.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Shane Smith's a fine right-hander. Jonathan Cannon, he's got a cannon, I think.
Look at this. It's called the backtrack. Here's the old defensive back.
I'm backtracking.
And out on the field.
I'm backpedaling.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. 30th day of May, inching ever closer to June. Maybe the weather breaks this weekend. Who knows, Mr. David?
Morning, Molly. Happy Friday. Yes, the weather should be fine and baseball-like this weekend. We have the Cubs in town, the White Sox in Baltimore. There's a lot going on. Yesterday was kind of quiet, which was nice. Both teams took a deep breath. Get ready for a big series because Cubs are rolling. The White Sox are playing well. Out in Baltimore against an Orioles team that's maybe the most disappointing in baseball. And I think that's an opportunity for the Sox. So we didn't have much to watch last night unless you were fans of
NBA and NHL.
Yeah, NHL. Yeah. That rematch is set. The rematch is set. Didn't see that one. Didn't predict that one. But I still think the Oilers are alive and the Panthers are the class of the NHL right now.
And the Knicks did manage to force a game six. Would their season have been an utter disappointment if they had gotten run out?
Well, it's New York. That's the obvious answer is yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely yes.
Yeah.
That's why they played with a little bit more urgency. That's why Tom Thibodeau went a little bit deeper into his bench. They did whatever was necessary to keep the season alive and give Ben Stiller a reason to go back to Indy. With his buddy.
Yeah, he was holding
Chalamet.
He was holding up seven fingers.
Didn't Spike Lee look silly last night in the orange suit?
Doesn't he kind of dress for the occasion
kind of
always?
Cartoon character, yeah.
He has like a kind of Knicks hat that he wears. And yeah, he's kind of...
Knicks rose to the occasion. Tyrese Halliburton didn't show up. And that was a big difference. Jalen Brunson refused to go down that way.
He's so overrated. What, do you have 8 points?
Overrated. Wasn't double figures. Was
it's hard
not.
To believe, isn't it?
Yeah, especially after we spent so much time praising his historic performance one game earlier.
All right.
It's just that kind
of
season.
Triple-double with no turnovers. That was awesome.
But last night he didn't even get double digits, so that was
something
to watch and to...
He'll be back.
I didn't spend a lot of time on the NBA game, to be honest
really?
With you.
Really?
As much after I saw how... lopsided it was becoming. It was a 15-point margin for most of the game.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Connor McDavid was doing his thing.
Oh, he scored. I tuned in just in time to see him score
Did
a breakaway
you?
Goal.
Tuned out.
Perfect. Well, I was
flipping.
Fishing around a little bit, and I like the NBA. I was watching the NBA.
Yep. No, nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not apologizing. I saw the goal though. That was perfect timing.
You were probably preoccupied with the news that came out yesterday. I know you were very much into this. How about the Pope Leo, the address at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, that's huge. I'm gonna get on the horn and try to get some tickets ordered. Right? Don't they?
Didn't you gotta Dustin, know a guy?
Didn't Dustin tell me 10 a.m. we got to get our tickets going?
Well, let's look at that. So 10 a.m. today, tickets go on sale. $5 a piece.
There you go.
$5 parking. I think you know a guy. You could probably get in.
Ten bucks a head.
Call your former seminarian contacts.
You know, it's kind of not as connected as you'd imagine. Right? I know some people, but not nearly like the old days. Last time there was a Pope in town, I was there and shook his hand. First of my two meetings with JP2, but no conversation.
Well, but the Pope won't be at the
Well,
park.
He will be via communication.
He'll be there in spirit.
There you go.
He'll be there in
but
spirit.
But he'll also be there as a message for the children.
June 14th.
He does have a message.
I know. He's got what's interesting
is it
about
live
this?
Or taped?
It's got to be. It's taped. It's already taped.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
What's interesting is it's not a Sunday. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Does it count as your holy day of obligation?
I always figure the Saturday Mass counts. I got no problem with going on a Saturday.
What time? Okay. But
more
it's
convenient. If you're working all day Sunday.
Our Mass starts at 4, so they're past the time. It's 4 o'clock. It's late enough to count.
Yeah, I'm sure the Cardinals saying the Mass, right? Cardinal Supich is saying the Mass.
I thought you meant like Nolan Arenado.
No, No, the guy in charge of the Archdiocese.
Yeah.
That's who I'm
Blaise Supich.
Yes.
Cardinal Blaise Supich.
Cardinal
he will lead the Mass.
As I said, will say the Mass.
Yes.
I didn't misname him.
Archdeacon of the diocese, Blaise? Chuck Swirsky, will be emceeing the program.
You on a first name basis with him?
No, I'm not. No. Bless you. But I think it's really cool that Chuck Swirsky is part of the whole process.
I was surprised to hear that.
That's got to be a huge thrill for him.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's going to be just a memorable, momentous day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at Rafe Field. They need more of those.
Yeah. Yeah. When are the bananas coming? The
Savannah bananas are later this summer, I believe. And the Pope's videotaped message, that's got to be two of the highlights of the season on the South Side.
I was a little disappointed to find out that he's going to be talking to children instead of Sox fans.
Well,
it's a joke. I'm only joking.
I know, because you do not want to get you don't
want
to
I don't want the giant thumb crushing me. I'm making a joke.
There's certain factions that you can alienate, but that
the
would
children.
Not
I believe the
priesthood would not be
future.
One of them.
The children are so selfish.
The pontiff would not be somebody I would want to alienate if really? I were you.
Why don't the children think about other people every once in a while, like Sox fans?
Speaking of children, can we offer congratulations to our guy Ryan Poore?
Yeah, how about that? That's any baby is a miracle.
Yes.
And his son Joey was born yesterday, mom and baby healthy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we go. We saw a great photo of him holding the baby in the hospital. And
he's our new SCORE teammate.
That's right.
Yes.
Mitch sent that a little.
Congratulations, Amanda and Ryan,
there you go, Ryan.
And big sister Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Get an addition. And as I texted Ryan, congratulations. He can start saving for youth hockey now.
There you go.
And he corrected me and said it's youth baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Why drive to Canada?
Those skates are expensive. I get it.
You got to keep going to Windsor for tournaments. No thanks.
That's cool. That's really
That's
neat.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Congratulations, yeah. Ryan and Amanda.
Delighted for them.
So the weekend really ahead, right around the corner, we're out of here. And then,
right.
You know, we get a little bit of Cubs at Wrigley.
That's
against the
fun.
Reds. A Friday afternoon at Wrigley Field is just perfect. Perfect baseball conditions. Hopefully the weather. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow as a
you should be going,
fan.
You should be going today. Because
can't do that today.
It's a day, and that's always fun.
I know. Tomorrow's a day game, too.
Well, I'm just saying it's a Saturday.
I know, but I can't go
But you can
today.
You can, like, I love the idea.
But
of,
why
like,
can't you go today?
Sneaking
without
out of
getting too personal if it's a
No, that's fine. Question. I don't mind. You can ask questions. But I have television tonight.
Well, that doesn't – you don't have to get boozed up. I mean, I don't know why you feel so –
Sometimes I'll do a drive-by. I'll do a drive-by sometimes.
Well, I mean, when you use that card that you got,
I can get in.
You can't really get boozed
you know
up
what?
When you're
I,
on the card,
I
right?
I think there's part of me that just wants to go today, check in with the card, just take a picture of it
to get Dustin's up.
Yeah, dander up,
yeah.
And then leave. And just leave.
Dustin, are you going?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm going in like... 2 weeks. I'm going to my first game in probably 2 years.
Last time
I was there, I was with you.
Wow, is that right?
Have you stayed away on purpose?
Part of it was on purpose, and then part of it was just no time.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard to come by. It is.
Never realized how the resource of time, how important time.
What game are you going to? If that's not too personal.
2 weeks from tomorrow, I think it's like the
Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
That weekend.
I hope Paul Skeens is pitching.
I do too. I hope he is.
And you can boo him.
I don't, unlike you. I don't want the Cubs to avoid Paul Skeens. I want them to face a Paul Skeens.
I
know.
Show interest.
I know. It's a terrible.
Share that passive aggressive comment.
Yes, I
what
did.
What was that?
They
might show interest.
They might. Wouldn't that get their gander up?
We got more coming on that, but I think we're going a little too far on that one.
What are you talking about? That might get them fired up.
What? Oh, come on.
Trade interest in Paul Skeens. Where the hell have you been?
What kind of indifference are you alluding to? Who's indifferent?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You said maybe they'll show some interest.
I'm saying if you play against a really good pitcher, you're going to get geared up. Why not get geared up?
Yeah, David, come on. We, you know, play Clint Rosenthal. You know, the Cubs need starting pitching.
They do. But they don't. Paul Skeens is not going to be on the market.
Eventually, right? There's no way they're going to pay him there. They don't pay anybody there.
He's not going to be on the market this year.
Oh, maybe not. But if he were, the Cubs could probably give a very enticing package.
Mm-hmm. Then they would have to pay him, too, in addition to Kyle Tucker,
welcome
PCA,
to the,
Paul
sometimes,
Skeens.
Sometimes you got to throw down $5 to park, my friend.
All right, let's have them win the Central first. Win a playoff series next.
Sometimes even glory to God costs you $5.
Get back to you know. Okay, you've mentioned that and referenced that a couple times.
They need to pay him $5.
Does it bother you that the Rate Field ceremony, the papal address, is going to cost $5 to get in?
No, I would happily pay it.
That's not what I asked.
I would happily pay it.
Does it bother you that they're charging money to go see, to attend a mass?
I have no problem. I don't like pay for play with church. I mean, I would prefer them to like have it at Grant Park and get 250,000 people down there if it were me. But I don't know that there's the audience for that. I think maybe the Pope would have to come in himself. And then you'd be able to get a huge crew. But generally speaking, I don't know that I've ever paid for mass, to be honest with you. I mean, I have given an offering, and I understand that's expected, and you gotta, you know, pay the toll. But that's not like pay for play, is it?
There's a difference between tithing.
I don't walk in there and like tell the guy, "Here's a fiver, get me in the front. Hey, can you move me up?
Here's 10."
Top three pews at least. Here's a 10 spot.
Here's a 20 for if I get in the confessional first.
That's right. Hey, get me over here.
Yeah.
Does David's card work for this because it's at a ballpark?
Here's $2. I need communion. I don't know, David. Does your baseball card?
That's good. I'll have to see.
Is the press box open?
I'll have to read the fine print to the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Is there some old movie called like Meet Me in St. Louis or something? And the guy is a reporter and he keeps flashing his press pass to get on various rides in an amusement park. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Some like 1940s, 50s movie.
I missed that one.
Where a guy is like he's got a press pass, so he can get to the front of the. Does that work at Disney, David?
I don't think it has worked at Disney. I've never tried it anywhere but the ballpark. I have not even used it. I think this year, except for because I've been using my Cub Pass. I haven't pulled out the BBWA pass. Lifetime pass, by the way, Dustin.
Because he has a Cubs pass.
Well, you never know when he's going to drive by.
You never know.
You don't need a Cubs pass because you got a BBWA pass.
Why he's doing drive-bys, I have no idea.
I think we're done with this conversation. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't abuse it. You're implying that I'm abusing the privilege.
No, I think you're just like, it's a privilege. You don't need that. You don't need the Cubs hard pass because you have the other pass.
That's true.
So somebody else could get the hard pass, like me.
There you go. David, texter checks in. David is the new Chet.
Oh, jeez.
Wave at a section, buddy. See, here's how you do it. You wave at a section.
Uh-huh.
You're dying your dance floor. No, I'm not.
No, can you amplify on that a little bit, please?
Could please, yes. No, I don't think that would get me into a mass. I don't think.
Sometimes you got to throw down $5 to park. Don't you? What's wrong with that?
Just take the red line, though. You really shouldn't park.
Man of the people. Take the L.
Park here, mm-hmm. Walk to State and Lake, take the red line south, get off, and walk over.
You got it mapped out, like you've done it before.
How about I take your party bus? This guy comes down for Cubs games. He goes to some tavern and then takes the party bus.
He hasn't been running lately.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm told. Again, I haven't been to a game in 2 years. So.
How about taking the party bus to the televised mass?
That's what I was saying. Okay,
well. Tailgating, is there going to be tailgating? Will people be like, get the Weber grill out and throw in bags ahead of time?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You are now you've gone too far.
At what point at what point are you teetering on sacrilege?
Oh, I think this conversation,
is somewhat close to that.
We're close to blasphemy.
Because I brought up barbecuing and throwing bags.
Yeah, throwing bags and before partying. Mass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to a church picnic?
Well, that's good. That's a good way of looking at it, Dustin.
It's just before the mass instead of after the mass.
Show of hands, who would go if we got a chance to go?
It is Father's Day, I believe, also.
I mean,
right?
Even more reason.
No, it's not. It's not a Saturday.
It's the weekend of.
Yeah, well, it's Father's Day
weekend. I'm going to be at the Cubs game. That's the day of the Cubs game that I'm going to.
Oh, you're going to the Cubs game on Saturday, June 14th?
Yes.
You better make sure you know what the gospel is in case you're quizzed.
Playing
hooky on
that. I would probably go. Is that after that 4 o'clock? Yeah, I think that would be worth going to.
Of course it would be.
Are we doing a show trip?
I could take the red line from Wrigley and meet you guys.
Okay.
The red line.
Trying to save you the $5 for parking.
June 14th is Flag Day.
I have no problem paying $5.
It's Flag Day. June 14th.
Flag Day?
Yes,
oh, well, hold on now. Wait a minute. I got to check my schedule.
It's Flag Day.
I usually like to flag down a lot of people.
Hopefully the Cubs will fly a W that day on Flag Day. Hashtag capture the flag.
I definitely think it's an event. It's something that you would go to. It would be memorable, and it would be a very special day on the South Side.
I think what you seek and what you would be rewarded with would be a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a fun thing to have whenever you're taking part in any religious ceremonies. I like the idea of it. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, I definitely think it's very cool, and it's an honor for Chuck Swirsky. I'm very curious to see how he describes his role and what it means to him.
I'm sure he's moved by it. I would imagine, mm-hmm. And he operates out of what are you laughing at? I was going to say,
I'm imagining
holy
Chuck
name.
Announcing or presiding over the program in the way that he does play by play, and I'm just imagining that. But he is a very different persona.
I know.
It's a very different persona. It's a very different job description. And he's versatile enough to be able to manage and handle both.
Wouldn't Stacy be great helping out? Just some of those comments would be perfect.
Big time popes making big time plays.
Yeah. Big time popes making big time prayers.
Yeah. Pass me the hot sauce, Pontiff.
Oh, boy. Pay to pray.
I love it. I love it. I love the whole thing. It's today, and if you want to go, you better get working the phone at 10 o'clock, right? So we'll have to get out of here early so we can start making our calls.
All right, we'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that.
I'm all over it.
Yeah, although $5 is a very good deal for a chance of a lifetime, a day.
I agree.
You probably will never forget if you're part of it. So that's today, the weekend Cubs and Sox, and then the Bears. Have we done Bears next week?
No, but I think we're still talking about everything that happened. I think there are still remnants, leftovers, if you will.
We'll get to this during the pick six.
As well as the big story.
Yeah, the big story yesterday, I think from a Chicago perspective, is intriguing. Jonathan Toews talking comeback, captain comeback.
Yes.
And that would be something to see, 37 years old, and talk to his agent via the report comes via Pierre LeBrun. Of the Athletic?
I thought his agent is Pat Bryson. Dustin, did you talk to him? I was reading this.
Stop it. Nobody understands what you're referring to.
Just spoke with Brinson.
No.
That's from the tweet.
That's from the tweet.
Sorry, I didn't notice.
He was quoting the tweet on the rundown.
Okay.
That this is in LeBron's voice.
There were no quotation
voice.
Marks. Okay. I just thought
he spoke with Pat Brisson.
I misunderstood.
Formerly a left-hander.
Wow. That was a gratuitous shot at you.
No, it was actually more at you.
I'm catching strays.
Out. No, you I'm, just pick up on things.
Okay.
That's Molly picking up on things.
Jonathan Toews hasn't played in a couple seasons.
That's what's hard to believe about it. The idea that he last played in 2023. And I'm not saying he doesn't feel great physically, but he is 37, right? Well, he will be when it's time to play the season. I got nothing but time for a Taser. You know that. But I wonder about this. I wonder how much interest there is, and I wonder where he wants to go, and I wonder how he will be
good questions. All good received. Questions. How he will be received will be with open arms. Don't you think?
Here?
No, not here. He's not coming to Chicago.
Okay.
He's not coming to Chicago. I would be shocked. That door's closed, and they've moved on, and I think they understandably have. For a lot of reasons. No, I think that Jonathan Toews' comeback will be either A, with a contender that is looking to get over the top and maybe take that next step. B, hometown of Winnipeg, the Jets are competitive. You look at what the kind of year they had. That might be the team who fits both categories. Or C, hello, Coach Q. I want to finish my career in Southern California playing for the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
So I think those are the main possibilities that might be in play. And I haven't talked to anybody about it specifically in terms of what he is thinking, but I do believe just in, a couple of texts yesterday, people will be intrigued by the possibility that he could add something, not 20 minutes a night, center.
Not only a great player, but a great leader.
I mean,
a great, presence to have on your team.
Look at the teams that are playing for the Stanley Cup trophy. Next week, you got the Oilers and the Panthers, and both have in common that consistency, that leadership, that thing that you need in the NHL, because the playoffs are a gauntlet, and it's 2 months of torture, because mentally and physically, it's a test. So I think you need guys like Jonathan Toews in your dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder what physical condition he is in. I just wonder if 2 years off makes you better at his age or if it makes you rustier at his age.
Probably it's going to be a hard challenge to conquer for him physically.
Yes.
Mentally, he probably has put himself in a position to be maybe better equipped for the mental challenge than the physical one that we know of. I would love to see it. I mean, it would be odd to see him put on another sweater, but for my money, there's never been a better captain in Chicago sports, a guy who's been that consummate leader than Jonathan Toews. So if he's ready to come back and wants to, wish him well.
Yeah, I think it's big news. I think it's a big story, and certainly we'll be following it. There's no chance here, though, huh?
I really don't think so.
Okay, just asking.
I really don't think so. That's been what they've been trying to avoid. For whatever reason, you can have an opinion on that, but I think they've been trying to move on from that era. They've been really reluctant to even discuss a Patrick Kane return, and he's been a free agent a couple of off seasons now.
Right, right.
So I just don't think that's a non-starter over there, because they've moved on, and I think they have their captain in Foligno. They've got their future in Bedard, and now they've got their new coach in Blashill.
All right, we've got the pick six next. We'll get right to it. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Where are you at now with the NBA Finals? Did last night's game impact your pick in any way, shape, or form? Do you know who you're taking to win already, and how many games will it need to do to get done?
Yeah, I'm taking OKC in like five, I think. I mean, I really don't think it's going to be that close. But hopefully it will be. Hopefully it'll be better. But I do think that that just sort of confirmed that OKC is the team. I don't think there's any way the Knicks win another game, but they've won there before, so it's not like it's impossible. But I hope that was just a kind of one-off and a bit of a fluke. And I feel like I really do feel like if the Knicks, because they're the Knicks, if they had gone out in five, I think everybody would feel like their season was a failure, even though, you know, you get to the conference finals. That's not a failure of a season, but just in New York, it might be. It might be considered flukish and a failure. So they played well and they won the game, and all the celebrities courtside were happy. But I feel like the Pacers are going to get it done. You know, it's an interesting idea though, because I do think if you go back for a game seven, you got a problem. But I think they should get it done in Indy. And I like OKC just straight up against Indy, and I think that I like them more now.
I think it'll be a gentleman's sweep, to your point, Mully. I think the Thunder are too good, too good. But I think that they might lose that first game just from a rust factor, because I think this is going seven. I think the Knicks are going to win on Saturday in Indy. I'm not really sure. I'm pulling for the Knicks. I think it's just a better product. It'll be a better watch. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton, are you kidding me? 32 minutes, 2-for-7, 0-for-2 for three-pointers. Oh, he didn't turn it over. So he didn't turn it over. Eight whole – is he – I mean, no wonder the Bulls drafted Patrick Williams. I mean, right? I mean, one of us could have – we asked a really good question yesterday.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Jerk being the key word.
Knee-jerk reaction.
We asked a really good question yesterday in the pick – in the extra point about the face of the NBA moving forward, and we picked apart what Charles Barkley said. I mean, one of us could have easily said, hey – where's Tyrese Haliburton on this list? I mean, what an awful awful performance in the greatest basketball arena on the planet. And you go 2-for-7, you work 32 minutes, you scored 8 points. Go Knicks.
I think the Pacers look shaky enough to believe that however long it takes, Oklahoma City at some point is going to celebrate. They should start planning the parade.
Yeah.
Last night's game was confirmation, I think, that the NBA Finals is going to be very one-sided. Thunder in three. I think they could have.
I mean,
David's making up new rules.
I gave him a game because I thought.
It's not going to be
close. I didn't
want
to be rude.
The depth of Oklahoma City, the way they swarm defensively, you've got no answer for SGA. And I think then you look at all the things that are in their favor. I guess we can look forward to the NBA Finals because it is going to be an introduction to many people to the best team in the league, who has been, which has been dominant this season. They've been dominant. So it's just a matter of time. The Knicks-Pacers series last night, I thought it might be over last night. I thought the Knicks mentally might be done. You never can rule out a team that is led by Jalen Brunson and coached by Tom Thibodeau. Yeah. They aren't going away. They don't think they're out of it. So I think seven games might be in the offing. And I did pick Knicks in seven, so I think I would like to see that. But I still believe the Pacers will prevail.
It's still a difficult question to answer.
Hockey insider Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic reported that Johnny Taves contacted his longtime agent, said he wants to return to play. Taves is 37. What are his chances, and where might he land? Is Chicago an option?
As we said, I love this story. I love the idea of Jonathan Taves returning to hockey. The game has missed him. You need more Jonathan Taves examples, guys who are as serious, if you will, about their craft, about their profession. He brings it every night. He has expectations for his teammates, and he's been like that since he was 19 years old. It's remarkable how young he was when he established himself as a leader and a legend in this town. Seems like it was a long time ago because it was a long time ago. He's 37. I don't know what he has left in terms of skating, in terms of being that two-way center at both ends of the ice. He still could probably help a team in the dressing room and on the ice. I hope that it is soon, and I hope that he is serious. He is Captain Serious, so I think that's probably going to happen. Who would help? Who would he help? Anaheim Ducks with Coach Joe Quenneville. Maybe Patrick Kane goes out there as well, and they have a reunion in Southern California. The Winnipeg Jets certainly had a disappointing end to a really terrific season up there in Taser's hometown. I don't think it will be the Chicago Blackhawks because they have moved on in every way, and I don't believe that they have talk about a hockey sacrilege. They don't have any room for the captain in that dressing room. So I don't think they want to go backward. All eyes forward with the new coach, Jeff Blashill. So I don't think it will be Chicago, but I think it will be with a contender or in his hometown, and the Jets might still be a contender.
Well, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's able to play. Very strange injury. I mean, it sounded like he had, like, massive COVID fatigue. Like, he really never got over having COVID very seriously. So I'm glad that he's going to get to go back into the NHL, and then obviously he's going to leave the NHL maybe on his own terms. I'm sure he'd like to get his name back on the cup. I'm sure he'd like to go up to Canada. David, I think you made a great list for us to kind of chew on and think about. But it makes all the sense in the world to come back here and help develop Connor Bedard as the future of this team. So if he, meaning Taves, has a love affair with, I mean, call them. Be proactive. And now that the people involved behind the scenes in the terrible things that went on over there are back in the league, meaning the general manager and the former coach are back in the league, why can't Jonathan Taves return to the Blackhawks?
Well, I noticed, I mean, he's 37, right? So I noticed that Corey Perry scored.
Oh,
he's
boy.
40 now.
He's had quite a postseason.
He's had a great postseason. Yeah. Former Blackhawk great, David's guy.
No. Okay.
I'm just making a joke. But there's a guy, now he's 6'3", 200 and something pounds. He is a big, strong dude, especially on skates, and Taser is not that. But I hated the way things ended for him, because I always felt that the difference between Taze and Kane was also found in the longevity of their careers, because Jonathan Taze would literally do anything that needed doing, and that meant he would go in front of goal and take a lot of abuse. Whereas Kaner never got hit, never really seemed to avoid a lot of that stuff, just the way he played and everything else. And I'm not dissing his game. I love Patrick Kane. He's maybe the best Blackhawks player ever. But and that's saying a lot with that statement. But he may go down as such.
I agree with you.
But I think that he, you know, had all the skill and was this great player. But Taser was the guy that sacrificed whatever had to be sacrificed, and I felt it impacted the length of his career. And I'm glad at the idea that he's feeling better and able to come back. He had concussion issues. I mean, there were a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you're right, Dustin. There was like the long term COVID stuff. And didn't he go to India at one point and try to find some solutions?
Not that long ago.
No. And the idea that he's feeling good enough that he's able to come back is great news. I really mean that. I really hope that he can that this works out for him. And it seems to me that doing it in his hometown would probably be the perfect spot for him.
Because everything about the next step is about looking forward. That's why I don't think himself he would be looking at Chicago, because it would be everything compared to looking back. And it would never be able to match that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
You know, that's a tough question.
It's a good thing to talk about, though.
We had an interesting conversation with Clay Harbor yesterday about left tackle position for the Bears, where he, meaning Clay, revealed his belief that Ozzie Trapillo is already ahead of Kieran Amagaji on that depth chart. What does that mean in terms of competition with Braxton Jones? Would it be good or bad if Jones is not the starter?
I think if Jones is not the starter, it means he's hurt. So that's bad. I think that Braxton Jones is the starting left tackle, not by draft position, but by investment of starts in the man. He started a lot of games here in Chicago, and he's gotten better, and that is a big investment. I get it. His contract will be up at the end of the year, and maybe they don't want to invest in him long term. But he has done enough. He started enough games that is a form of investment. And whether they were all wins or losses, or whether he won every, that guy is a solid rank and file NFL starter, and he needs to be respected as such. And I think that if he is the starting left tackle, that's probably what the plan was. I think the only way he loses that job right now is if he is injured, and he's obviously coming back from an injury, so you want him to be able to play. But I'm encouraged by what Clay had to say about Ozzie Trapillo. I think that very difficult. One of the fun things to do at training camp is to just go stand and watch guys play on the offensive line, because they're actually playing football, and they're, you know, when you get the pads on, they're hitting and they're doing some stuff, and it's good. And I think that you won't know whether a guy can play until you see him in the pads and you see what it looks like. You can tell a little bit in practice, but when you get into the games, you get a really good sense of it. So I hope that Ozzie Trapillo is doing as well as imagined and is recognized by Clay. I'm not saying that Clay's wrong. I'm saying that would be really encouraging if that's the case. But if he beats out Braxton Jones, that might not be the best case scenario. It might be best to just have a starting left tackle back and healthy and able to play with other better players around him.
I agree about the fact that Braxton Jones, if healthy, would compete for that spot. And if he beats him, then he beats him. What I do believe is that Ozzie Trapillo has put himself ahead of Kieran Amagaji as that swing tackle, if you will. I just wonder what is the future of Kieran Amagaji? I mean, are they allowed to put him and protect him on the practice squad? Would they have to make him available to everybody else in order to get him to the practice squad? Yes. I don't think guard is his future, because I think he's almost too big potentially to play guard, especially with what I think the Bears want to do. So, I mean, would Poles be willing to, you know, cut this guy and see what the rest of the league thinks about him? Because you're going to have, you know, almost too many offensive linemen at this point if he is the fourth tackle. I don't think you're going to be in a position to have four tackles on your roster every Sunday.
I think you'll find a way to keep him in the organization. I don't think you want to be cutting offensive tackles, not with the attrition rate on the offensive line. Plan A remains Braxton Jones because you have experience at a position that's a premium position, and you would be foolish to squander that. You drafted Ozzie Trapillo to be somebody who in the future protects you from the possibility or against the possibility of Braxton Jones leaving next year because he's in a final year of his deal. And he may save you some money long-term, and this is a rookie contract for a left tackle. That might be a really wise draft pick as this progresses because you could get a year out of Braxton Jones, and then you can have a little bit more leverage with him if Ozzie Trapillo develops. You have four offensive linemen you feel very good about, and if Braxton Jones weren't coming off the injury, you'd probably feel very good about him as well because he has been serviceable. He's not been spectacular. That's okay. Right now, he doesn't have to be. He needs to hold down the fort at one of the most important positions on the O-line, but I don't think you want to go cutting people. I don't think you need to worry about too much depth. That would be a luxury the Bears would love to be able to afford. I don't have any problem with Ozzie Trapillo going into his rookie season as a backup swing tackle, because if that's the only role he plays, only in air quotes, that's a great season of development for a guy who could be potentially your future left tackle at a position that would be affordable and allow you to do some other things.
That's a great question.
The Bears have $14.5 million of salary cap space, according to Over the Cap, and Nick Chubb will not be returning to the Browns, according to the Four Letter Network. So, is Chubb still a real possibility, and do you think Ben Johnson would prefer Chubb over J.K. Dobbins and, say, Gus Edwards or Jamal Williams, who know Ben Johnson?
I still believe that J.K. Dobbins fits the Bears' timeline better. I think if you're a team that wants to envision or a team that is looking at the next 1 to 3 years as winning time, you make a step forward next year, this coming season. You take a big quantum leap the next season after that, 2026, to maybe be a playoff contender and take your chances. Then I think J.K. Dobbins makes sense if he's available, interested, and affordable. Nick Chubb, if he is your consolation prize, if you will, still makes a lot of sense because he's a downhill runner that would complement DeAndre Swift and certainly give the Bears something they don't have right now. Not that Roschon Johnson can't do that, but I don't know how the new regime feels about him. That said, I think they have to address this. They have to go into the free agent market, what's left of it, and get a veteran running back because you, if not create competition, you want to give your offense a dimension that currently doesn't have.
Yes, a dimension that we don't know that it has, and I wonder how much the former Bulldog teammates, does that matter anymore once you get to the NFL and you get down the road a bit, if they're the teammate from college days matters, because that's what Chubb was with Swift. So is that a factor at all? I'm guessing that from what we, at least I know of Ben Johnson from this spot, I'm thinking he wants guys that he's familiar with. I think that's more of his comfort level, if you will. But I definitely think they need to add. I don't think there's any question that they need to add to the running back room.
Yeah, I think they need another running back. And if it's Chubb, great. If it's J.K. Dobbins, great. I think either of those guys would be the two that I would circle and try to get. You know, maybe Dobbins over Chubb. Okay. But either one, I think, would be a real upgrade to what they're doing, and I hope they do it. I really do.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
What do you make of Tommy Hotovy telling us yesterday that Shota Imanaga will likely need a rehab stint before returning to the rotation? Shota injured that left hamstring all the way back on May the 4th and will pitch again Saturday, a bullpen. Do you figure he'll likely miss the 9-game road trip, Washington, Detroit, and Philly, then return sometime around the weekend of the 12th when the Pirates are coming to town?
Yeah, I think he wants to be there for Dustin. That's what I think. I think that Shota's got a sense that he's got a guy out there that really wants to watch him pitch.
What if you have the choice between Papal Blessing or Paul Skeens? What are you choosing?
Oh, that's so good. I think it's interesting. I saw Bruce had a thing saying that he thought that Shota would go to Arizona. So I thought that was interesting because I just figured he'd go to Iowa because it's close enough and you get guys that are, you know, closer to the major leagues, right? And then you find down in at the facility. So I keep kind of hoping he winds up going to Iowa, get a start in there, get a maybe two, I don't know, get a look there, and then get back here and be ready to go for that series. It just makes sense that they're going to go on the road if they're gone for 9 days. They said he'd be back in the middle of June, right? Doesn't that kind of, maybe that's a little early, but he's already throwing. He's going to throw Saturday. Then you get him a rehab start or two down in Iowa, and he's ready when you get back from your road trip.
I think the Arizona thing makes sense because of that extended road trip. I mean, he's going to have a sim game, a start, if you will. He's already doing bullpens. And, hey, you know, listen, I might even pray on having a Paul Skeens, Shota Imanaga matchup for my return to the federal landmark.
Yeah. I love it when you call it the federal landmark. I don't know why, but you do it once a day. I like it. I enjoy it. I think Shota Imanaga, whatever he is comfortable with, that's the key here. This is somebody that's never returned from an injury like this before. We don't know what he feels comfortable doing, whether it's in the climate, whether it's in the comforts of spring training facility that he knows well and may not be comfortable in Iowa. He may not have much experience in Des Moines or wherever in AAA. Maybe he wants to avoid it. I understand that. If he this is a guy who isn't your prototypical major league starter in that he didn't work his way up from Class A to AA to AAA.
Right, right.
He came here and pitched in major league parks. Maybe he wants to stay in major league parks or major league facilities. No problem there. Shota, take your time. Take your time. Be well rested. Be well recovered. Be healthy. So when you do come back every fifth day, the Cubs can count on you again. They're doing okay without you. It doesn't mean that they can do okay without him the rest of the way. It's May 30th. They're at the high water mark of the season. Take your time.
And he may be the guy that wants to go to Iowa. You know what I mean? He may want to see a different part of the country. Shota seems like the kind of guy that throws him. Maybe he's always wanted to kind of wear coveralls and do some farming.
I don't think so.
Get to an Applebee's?
I don't think so. I don't. We were talking yesterday, if there are any good sushi places in Des Moines. We never heard back, so I guess the answer would be no.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
The man wants to milk a cow every once in a while.
I know you can put some pork on your fork out there, according to Pat and Ron. What is your reaction to the MLB Network saying this about Miguel Vargas?
This might be the most dramatic in-season adjustment I've ever seen in the MLB Network era.
This might be the most dramatic in-season adjustment. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Is the closer to being the truth, or is that an exaggeration?
I have to think that's got to be somewhat of an exaggeration. I think that Miguel Vargas is the MLB Network was launched on January 1st, 2009. So we're talking about the last 15, 16 years. Is Miguel Vargas's adjustment, moving his hands, we've all seen the pictures. Is that the biggest in-season adjustment? Thank you to the biomechanics lab at 35th and Shields. It sounds like an exaggeration, but maybe it's a truth. People who are in the game are marveling at his ability to change the course of his season. He was terrible the first month. Terrible.
He was terrible last year.
And he was even worse last year.
Oh, I know.
He was anemic, his batting average. He looked overmatched. He looked disinterested. All his body language said, stop. I'm out of my element here. Then he moved his hands. And who am I to argue with the MLB Network? They know this stuff inside and out. It just is something you don't hear every day. Certainly about a White Sox hitter. So congratulations to Vargas for making MLB Network history.
Well, I mean, he was hitting 150, and now he's not hitting 150. So it was a big – I mean, it worked. I mean, but Matt Shaw made adjustments, but not, I guess, with his hands, right? Because Matt Shaw was hitting even probably worse than 150.
You sound jealous.
He's hitting. But, you know, I mean, good for Miguel. Listen, aren't we all looking for, like, one piece of good news from the team that plays at 35th and Shields?
We got one.
Going to be a sellout there.
Get your Pope tickets. Hey, I got to be honest with you about this. I think that Miguel Vargas, if you go back and look, he was like a really promising farmhand for the Dodgers. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect. He was a highly thought of player who kind of fizzled out, came here and was awful, and then made an adjustment and is back on the course that his career may have once had. So it's kind of like, you know, what it does is it gives you hope for a guy like Colson Montgomery, although totally different swing, totally different situation. Colson Montgomery was drafted out of high school, and I believe he's grown a bit. And his problem, he's got this long swing. I mean, he's just getting – it's like he's growing out of baseball or something. You know, you got to worry about that, although it doesn't seem to stop Aaron Judge. But I wonder if this – if you know, we've talked about there's somebody with the Sox that knows what the hell they're doing with their pitching, and I think we know who it is. I think there might be someone who's got a good clue as to hitting, too, and we got a suspicion of who that is. So I think they made some good moves. But, I mean, you know, this is, I will call it a non, I will say it is dramatic, both dramatic and drastic, the change that has happened here. So good that you've got to make up a word to describe it, or you've got to claim it's the MLB era. I just think, MLB Network era, I just think that it is astounding at one simple kind of mechanical change gives somebody back their confidence to the point where they're now raking. It doesn't make all the sense in the world, but it makes you think one little trick can turn a mind,
well,
and
maybe
then that power will take care of the rest.
Maybe it will have the same effect on Colson Montgomery. Maybe it does give somebody like that hope. It certainly is a great example for other prospects to point to or look at. I also just think that it underscores for me, and I don't want to dwell on this because it's a positive story, but why they moved him from third base to first base is beyond me, because everything was going so well and continues. He's hitting, but I don't know what's he doing at first base. His future in the organization is not there.
I think he's a third baseman, and he'll be a third baseman. I think they put all their first basemen down into the minor leagues.
It seems silly to me.
None of them can hit.
Yeah.
They just need somebody that can
keep him third base. How is that developing him as an infielder if he's playing out of position at first?
I think of him as a third baseman, not a first baseman.
Same.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get too worked up about it. We got the extra point next, and man, is it a good one. We're going to have some hefty, lively discussion over this one. Mully and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
So, with the 18-38 White Sox playing at the 19-36 Orioles, do you see any possibility that the Southsiders can sweep themselves out of dead last in the American League for the first time in forever? That's like a Disney song, right? What about the Cubs? How about their sweep chances versus the visiting Reds? Will it be another bare minimum effort weekend? Yawn.
That's a very loaded question. I don't even know if I want to acknowledge it with an answer. It's intended to trigger somebody. Maybe not me, maybe me. But it was a question definitely intended to trigger somebody.
Why are you trying to trigger yourself with your question?
That's not my question. I did not word this question in this way. I had nothing to do with the wording of this question. I will answer it, though. I think the Sox are going to win 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. And I think they're going to go home from Baltimore tied with the Orioles for the worst record in the American League. And that alone could be progress, because I think we'll have to do some digging to find out the last time the Sox didn't have the worst record in the American League. When did that happen? Because they're on the verge of that, and they are capable of sweeping the Orioles. I guess they're just as capable of getting swept, because if you're the Orioles, you're happy the White Sox are coming to town and not a team that has more than 18 victories. Comma, as for the Cubs, there's no such thing as a bad sweep. If the Cubs yawn their way to another sweep of the Reds and it's 2-1, 3-2, 4-3, great. That's great. Whatever happens at Wrigley Field this weekend, if all three games result in Cub victories, regardless of the method or the process, if the outcome is Cubs win, Cubs win, Cubs win, play the song 3 days in a row, I think you'll be singing happily 3 days in a row.
Are you predicting that?
I'm predicting 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
I also predicted 2 out of 3 for the Cubs on the Fly the W podcast. I don't know that they were bored. I wonder if it's the opposite. If the Rockies were playing at their best because they were playing for in front of 30,000 people and they're used to playing in front of 5,000 people. If those pressure situations end up helping Daniel Palencia to a couple of saves this weekend, it could be a good learning experience for him being in those tight games. Again, should they have been in a tight game against the Rockies? Absolutely not. No, they should not have been. And they easily could have lost the middle game of that series that ended up going 11 innings. So maybe that'll wake them up, if you will, if we want to go that route. The Sox, I mean, the Orioles probably the biggest disappointment in all of baseball this season. Do I think the Sox could sweep them? No, but I think the Sox will remain. I don't think the Sox will get swept. I don't think that's going to happen either. I predict the Orioles will win 2 out of 3, but strictly because it's at the Orioles. If it was here, I'd say the White Sox would win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be great if you could say the Sox are going to get 20 wins before they get to 40 losses, but I doubt that is the case. I don't generally expect them to win series, but I think they could. They could win this series. I think they'll win a game, at least, in Baltimore. The Cubs are interesting to me because they, you know, they could have swept Cincinnati, but they won the series in Cincinnati. And we had talked to Gordon before that, and he did feel like you could put a fork in them if you swept them at that point. I wonder if it's still the case. If you feel like if you get a sweep in this series, that you might just put it, we're not even in June, but you might be putting these guys to sleep because they have had such a crazy kind of mediocre start. I think the manager might be too good to say that about them, but I'd love to see the Cubs get a sweep here because, and as you say, whether it's a bare minimum effort weekend and you're on your way through another sweep, it doesn't matter. You got to win games. But this is a beatable team, and you'd love to jump on them when they're kind of beatable. So I would love to see the Cubs take advantage of it just in case the manager works some magic as the year goes on.
I wonder if they've set their pitching yet, because it's all TBD, TBA, and I think the order should be pretty easy to project or predict, but I wonder if that's just a technicality.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This might be the most dramatic in-season adjustment I've ever seen in the MLB Network era.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. That is from the MLB Network. They're talking about Miguel Vargas. He moved his hands a little bit, and all of a sudden, he's a different player.
Different player.
Significantly better player.
Different projection.
Yep.
I think just a different profile at the plate, and it bodes well for the Sox future if they can have success with one guy. You do wonder, and it's a fair question. You referenced Colson Montgomery, but you wonder how many other prospects will be looking at this example specifically and be a more captive audience because of it. When you have an instructor who's telling you what you should do, and you have an example that you can point to and say, look what it did for him, and look what they said about Miguel Vargas. And this was more in-depth explanation about why they believe Miguel Vargas has made the most improvement since the MLB Network started in 2009.
This guy was traded from the Dodgers to the Chicago White Sox last year and struggled mightily, hit under 150. Lately, he's been raking. In April, before he made this adjustment, he just couldn't hit anything, was late on everything. Then come May, it's a different player. Now, there have been many articles written about the adjustment. He's talked about it. He raised his hands significantly. Let's show you the difference in May, which is what he's doing now. You see, much higher. That sly adjustment has made him a different hitter. One-hand finish, by the way. Don't overlook that. This is a dramatic change. First 64 games with this organization, he was literally one of the three worst hitters in baseball.
They were going, why'd we make this trade?
No, they weren't.
He was one of the worst hitters in baseball. That's 64 games is a large sample.
If you're being honest with yourself, you're going, come on, who made this deal? And now you're saying.
He hit 117 through 64 games. Now he's hitting 316 his last 31 with eight bombs.
That's what they're saying about me.
Harold, I'd expect Greg.
What?
Who played high school. You played. Timeout. You know why I know this? Because I watched Miguel Vargas in Double A, Tulsa. I've watched him in Oklahoma City. Let me rattle off a little bit about it.
I understand.
330 one year. 308, 319, 304.
Yeah.
And then 290 before he got called up to the big leagues. This guy has raked everywhere. There is an adjustment.
Except for the Chicago White Sox until the month of May came
rolling
around.
Because there's an adjustment curve to the whole thing. The show, the big leagues, I got traded.
Okay.
You know, I think that's a legitimate point. I don't think you get there without being a certain quality of player. And I think that if you had that in you, it's great that you can bring it out of them. But I don't know. I don't know. He
was. Are the Sox getting too much credit?
No, I'm not saying that. I think they're getting credit where it's due.
Yeah.
I think is it Ryan Fuller who's the guy that
Ryan Fuller's director of hitting. Came over from the Orioles.
This
is a big weekend for him.
Yeah, this is a big weekend for him.
You know, there are a lot of examples on the Orioles team that I think he probably, guys he's worked with, maybe not to the dramatic change or improvement that we've seen with Vargas, but that's a good point. I just wonder if you wonder what change and how the confidence is also related to the mechanics, because it might be a mechanical thing. You might be getting on top of the ball, but it's also a belief that you're going to get there.
Well, I think once you start having success, if you've been successful at every level, does this sound like Matt Shaw? And then you're not successful. Once you make an adjustment and you start getting it back, now you're flying high. Now you're back into self-belief, and you are visualizing, and you are, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's a great example, because I would like to, as we continue to look at the Cubs and the Sox, we constantly compare them because of the teams in town. Miguel Vargas's progress since the mechanical change, Matt Shaw's progress since the it was a mechanical change.
Yes.
Maybe not as severe or noticeable as Miguel Vargas is. Certainly not.
I would argue more severe.
Do you think
more noticeable? Yeah.
Do you notice a different hitter as obviously as Vargas? You can see that they've done the study. They've got the photos next to each other.
Yes.
His hands are noticeably different placement.
Yeah.
Matt Shaw is maybe a little more subtle, it seems, but both are mechanical changes.
I think his
fair
leg
enough.
Is like a is
fair enough.
Half the distance. His leg when he came up the first time, was like his kick was over his waist.
Yep.
It was like a guy warming up before
it's
a workout.
Interesting.
And now it's significantly less, and that's allowing him to get into his rhythm and kind of turn easier. I don't know what else they did, because he's got so many things going on with his swing. It's back.
In both cases, though, I do wonder, and it's impossible to quantify, but the breakdown to mechanical changes and the impact and difference that's made, mental change in just your approach and your confidence level, because they're so tied together and so closely intertwined that I think you see it in Vargas and you're seeing it in Matt Shaw 8 games back from Iowa since a demotion. Miguel Vargas coming off of what he didn't get demoted, but he deserved to be.
I mean, and you know, when they said, they weren't questioning why they made that trade. I was sitting here questioning why they
Everybody
made that trade.
Everybody in town
How many
was.
Times did we talk about it? Whenever I had an opportunity, I was questioning what the hell were they thinking.
He was bad enough to miss Michael Kopech.
Eric Fetty is an innings
Eric
eater.
Fetty. Okay, wow.
You know how I feel about Tommy Pham.
I know.
You love big. That guy.
Come here, Pham.
He's fantastic.
Come on, Pham.
And it's not just me.
No.
John Heyman loves that man, too.
He does, too. He's a text buddy. But, yeah, that's quite the transformation in Miguel Vargas, and you're seeing it similar with Matt Shaw, two guys who are the third baseman of the future for the White Sox and the Cubs.
We got a lot of people who want to check in. We'll get right to your phone calls. We'll be right back after a quick timeout. Mully and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.